Good morning. My name is Ann Burke, and I'm here today from the Utah Department of Health to describe to you our analysis that we conducted in order to gain a better understanding of electronic record linkage as a tool to assess morbidity and mortality associated with hepatitis C infection among people living with HIV/AIDS in Utah between 2009 and 2013. Before I begin the formal presentation, I thought I would give you a little background on kind of how this analysis came about. I'm the syndromic surveillance epidemiologist in Utah, but I've done a lot of work with HIV analytics, including conducting death ascertainment for both historical and current data. In 2013, we performed a linkage with death certificate records and found a substantial increase in mortality amongst our HIV-positive population. Upon further investigation, we found out that almost all of these persons were co-infected with hepatitis C, and so we decided to perform this linkage to better understand morbidity and mortality within this population. Reciprocal interaction between hepatitis C virus and HIV infections may modulate natural history of both infections, impacting morbidity and mortality. HCV and HIV share common transmission networks, including injection drug users, or IDU, and men who have sex with men, or MSM. Because of these common transmission networks, persons who are infected with HIV percutaneously are almost always already infected with HCV. Conversely, prior HIV infection is also associated with an increased risk of hepatitis C infection. Proposed explanations for this include increased infectivity and changes in the risk perception of sexual behavior associated with initiation of highly active antiretroviral therapy. Co-infection has a substantial impact on morbidity and mortality. Persons who are co-infected with hepatitis C and HIV proceed to cirrhosis at a rate much greater than those who are infected by HIV alone, as you can see in that picture. Additional risk of extrahepatic morbidity creates an increased risk of mortality within the co-infected populations as well. One way to decrease the risk of morbidity and mortality associated with co-infection is to treat hepatitis C infection. Unlike hepatitis B and HIV, the hepatitis C RNA persists in the cytoplasm and does not integrate into cellular DNA. Because of this difference in immunology, it is possible to achieve virologic cure or sustain virologic response as opposed to just viral suppression. While interferon-free treatments for HCV have been associated with toxicity and complications, new interferon-free drugs enable virologic cure with limited side effects. Research has demonstrated a substantial reduction in all-cause and hepatic condition-specific mortality associated with sustained virologic response amongst hepatitis C patients. Importantly, people co-infected with HIV have been found to not be impacted differently by direct-acting antivirals, suggesting that they receive the same benefits to mortality as those infected with hepatitis C alone. Although Utah conducts surveillance for both hepatitis C and HIV, this surveillance occurs in separate systems and programs, and the association between co-infection and morbidity and mortality is not well known. HIV surveillance is conducted in the Utah Enhanced HIV/AIDS Reporting System, or EHARS, and HCV surveillance is conducted in EpiTrax, formerly known as Trisano. Regarding the epidemiology of both diseases, current estimates suggest that there were 2,891 people living with HIV in Utah as of 2013. Regarding hepatitis C, HCV infection was the fourth most commonly reported condition in communicable disease in Utah, with 991 incident and chronic cases reported in 2013. Analysis of co-infection and morbidity and mortality in Utah is additionally challenged by the fact that EHARS does not record hepatitis C infection. HIV status is infrequently ascertained during hepatitis C investigations, and it was only recently that efforts began to actively ascertain deaths amongst the hepatitis C infected population. So, the objective of this analysis was to electronically link death record and surveillance data in order to assess trends in hepatitis C co-infection amongst people living with HIV/AIDS in Utah. In order to do this, we obtained three data sets. We obtained case records for 4,241 people living with HIV/AIDS between 2009 and 2013 in Utah. We also obtained 10,686 confirmed acute or chronic hepatitis C cases that were reported for the same time period, And from vital statistics, we obtained 80,574 death certificate records for 2009 to 2013 as well. Next, we linked these three data sources using electronic record linkage, and specifically LinkKing, which is a SaaS-based software which uses a deterministic and probabilistic linking algorithm to link cases based on first and last name, gender, and birth date. Following the electronic record linkage, we conducted a manual review in order to assure that all of the linkages were made appropriately and ascertain additional linkages. And we subset the data to focus only on those who were people living with HIV/AIDS. With regards to the methods, we determined the prevalence of co-infection in two ways. We looked at the annual proportion of persons who were living with HIV/AIDS that were co-infected with hepatitis C. And then we also looked at daily count, factoring in incident reported cases and daily mortality. We then conducted logistic regression analyses with hepatitis C co-infection as the outcome variable and predictor variables that included demographic characteristics from EHARs, risk factors from EHARs, clinical and lab data from EHARs, and death during follow-up from all-cause mortality from the death certificate records. With regards to the results of our analysis, we found that the prevalence of co-infection in Utah is increasing, from 2.4% of 2,383 people living with HIV/AIDS at the beginning of 2009 to 3.9% of the 2,872 people living with HIV/AIDS at the end of 2013. Looking at count as a function of daily incidence and daily mortality, we found that it has also increased and approximately doubled from about 57 at the beginning of 2009 to 113 at the end of 2013. Right within the univariate analysis, variables that were not significantly associated with the odds of hepatitis C co-infection included gender, prognosis or progression to AIDS, AIDS diagnosis, CD4 count less than 200, viral load greater than 500, diagnosis with any opportunistic infection, and race. For this analysis, it was a bit surprising that variables that were associated with immunosuppression, such as progression to AIDS, AIDS diagnosis, low CD4 count, high viral load, and diagnosis with an opportunistic infection, were not associated with co-infection. However, these would be unlikely to impact co-infection risk in the absence of an exposure. We did find variables in the univariate analysis that were significantly associated with the odds of co-infection. These included death during follow-up from all-cause mortality, which was associated with a 3.8 times greater odds of co-infection, injection drug use, which was associated with 4.6 times greater odds of co-infection, MSM status, which was associated with about 0.5 lesser odds of co-infection, and age as a continuous variable, with each additional year being associated with a 2% greater risk of co-infection. Something that was a bit surprising from this analysis was that we found that MSM status was protective, which suggests that sexual transmission of hepatitis C, which is something that has been noted in other locations, might not be happening as frequently in Utah. However, it's important to note that we did define MSM status by excluding those who were injection drug users. Those who were both injection drug users and MSM were put into the injection drug use category. So use of injection drugs that might predispose someone to higher risk sexual behaviors were probably missed through this analysis. So within the multivariate analysis for hepatitis C co-infection, death, gender, injection drug use, and MSM status remain significantly associated with hepatitis C co-infection. Even when controlling for other prognostic variables, people living with HIV/AIDS co-infected with hepatitis C continue to be at 3 times greater odds of mortality. This research is not without its limitations, however. Hepatitis C surveillance continues to improve in Utah. And as the hepatitis C reporting becomes more complete, efforts to understand the impact of co-infection will only become more effective. However, one great benefit from the state of linkage was not only that we were able to gain a better understanding of morbidity and mortality, but it also provided the opportunity to supplement current hepatitis C surveillance data with data from EHARS, our HIV surveillance database, including risk factors, which was a frequently missing variable within our hepatitis C surveillance data. There are also issues with generalizability. The prevalence of co-infection in Utah and in our study was approximately 4% at its greatest, which is substantially lower than that often seen throughout other areas of the United States and internationally. But the results of this analysis do suggest that the potential impact of a similar record linkage may be even greater in locations with a greater co-infection prevalence. So in conclusion, this study suggested that electronic record linkage provides a mechanism to investigate morbidity and mortality for diseases that exist within disparate systems, which is important because the prevalence of co-infection in Utah has increased, and co-infection is associated with greater odds of mortality. New interferon drugs, free drugs for hepatitis C, can result in virologic cure with limited side effects, but the treatment is expensive. It will therefore be increasingly important that public health accurately documents the prevalence of hepatitis C and HIV co-infections and outcomes, such as death, to inform policymakers and others who are responsible for allocating resources. I'm grateful to the literature and those who paved the way for this analysis, and the members of my study team, Matt Meachin, David Jackson, Alan Nakashima, Jeff Eason, and Mylita Barrett. And I am thankful to all of you for your time. Do you have any questions? We did try to. The majority of persons in this analysis were diagnosed at the same time, so the order in which it occurred was a little bit more difficult to ascertain. I think that second, it was those who were diagnosed with HIV first and then hepatitis C following that. One of the issues with our hepatitis C surveillance, and as it continues to improve, it's just getting better and better, but we find that when we did the death ascertainment linkage that, the overwhelming majority, about 80%, had hepatitis C as a cause of death, but had never been reported to the health department. So there's limitations like that we have to deal with, but one of the things that we're trying to do is communicate this information to clinicians, particularly our HIV providers, and make sure that they're actively monitoring for hepatitis C infection in order to try and prevent the sort of mortality that we've seen in this analysis and in Utah.
Hi, thank you. Very interesting presentation. I had a question. I've been doing some work on mortality data, and I guess I was wondering about the cause of death. I don't know if you, and it's a little bit different than what your study is, but looking at the cause of death was written on the death certificates compared to those other systems to see if Hep C and HIV, if that was actually listed on the cause of death, or being an inclination that you'd be able to identify if you just looked at death certificates.
That's a great question. We have, I guess, with this particular analysis, we didn't look at it in conjunction with the hepatitis C, HIV, and mortality. We have done it separately for both hepatitis C and HIV. And that was the analysis that I was just speaking about. We linked all of the hepatitis C records with all of the death certificate records and did find that the overwhelming majority had never been reported to public health. And after speaking with the providers and saying, how did you know that they were hepatitis C infected? Clearly we never got labs, or else they would have been reported. They said that it's just within the medical record, so they determined it based on that. So that's another intervention, you would say, that we're kind of working on is working to get providers to report hepatitis C to us in those cases, and then doing some chart review in order to gain a better understanding of the population that hasn't been reported to us.
Hi.
Thank you very much.